The Australian flag flew at half-mast today in Millamilla as the community came together to farewell its favourite son, Henry Tranter. The 100-year-old pioneer blazed a trail on the Atherton Tablelands and provided a window to the district's rich farming history that most of us are lucky to know about, let alone live through. But it was not only his longevity that made Henry Tranter's contribution so remarkable. He left an indelible mark on his community, as our rural reporter Charlie McKillop found out today when she spoke with one of his four children, Bill Tranter.
Dad was part of Millamilla, and Millamilla was part of him for over 100 years. And so I can't imagine Millamilla without him, and we thought he'd live forever. But just the stories he told us about the early days of growing up in the 1920s, 1930s, amazing stories. And then as I was a child, all his work with developing new pasture species and legume species for our dairying industry. And then later on as a technical assistant working with the CSIRO. Then later on he got involved in recording local history and trail riding and mapping the northern section from Cooktown to Greenvale of the Australian National Horse Trail. But on top of all that, he was a wonderful dad and a very great granddad to his 14 grandchildren. And 22 great-grandchildren.
It's such a wonderful legacy. How did your dad's love affair with Far North Queensland begin?
Well, both of his parents migrated to North Queensland, his father from northern New South Wales and his maternal grandfather from Ballarat in Victoria. In fact, his maternal grandfather was William Walter Mason. They farmed on the north side of the Barron, and the bridge near the over the Barron River near the airport is named after Dad's grandfather, William Walter Mason. And then Dad's father came to the Tableland because his mother was so keen to farm. And they started at East Barron. And then in 1918, when the rainforest areas around Millamilla were being opened up for selection, he selected a block here, virgin rainforest, and carved out an existence somehow or another, as all of the people of that generation did. And now we just marvel at not only Dad, but what all those early pioneering families did to develop the farming lands and the communities that we have today.
They did it the hard way.
They did it the hard way, all right. Amazing. I mean, he tells the story of having his a cow standing on his toe and chopping his toe off. They had to wait till the end of milking, and then he was dispatched on a horse with his sister into Millamilla here, caught the rail motor to Malander, and there he stayed a week in hospital.
There are so many things that he was. A soldier, a rat of Chibook, a farmer, a father. What will you remember the most about him?
Quite unassuming, there for everybody. He had no bias, creed, religion, gender. He worked with Aboriginal, there's a fellow George Watson, an Aboriginal man that he went into partnership with, contracting to fall early rainforest. Mum and Dad were a partnership farming, and then they worked as a wonderful partnership recording history and ended up publishing, I think, about 8 books. The Rocky Creek Memorial, the Gillies Highway, the story about the Gillies Highway, A Bend Too Many, Millamilla On My Mind. So, you know, we recall as young kids the top gate and the bottom gate, and when we were going to Cairns, you always had to be at the top gate or the bottom gate because there was only one-way traffic. And if you missed the top gate, then you had to wait the 2 hours until the traffic went down and your traffic came back, and no way would the gatekeeper open the gate for you if you were just a minute late. So, yeah, recording all those stories. And also the amazing stories about the great war memorial now that it's at Rocky Creek. How there was one stage 1,800 beds at that hospital at Rocky Creek with, you know, 100,000 troops or something. Don't quote me, because Dad knows the history. You have to look up his book. But, you know, 28,000 patients treated on the Tableland here. And they managed to capture those stories of the nurses and the people that were around at that time. And it's all there for us all to never forget, because it's been written.
I wanted to ask you about the war years. Your father served as a rat of Chibook, which was reflected beautifully here with a very poignant moment when his funeral procession was led by a light horseman and flanked by some horses. Did he talk much about those years?
Yes, he talked about it. He talked about how the situation in Europe was deteriorating in 1940 and the Germans had overrun France. And he said, I could await no longer. And off he went and enlisted, and on Christmas Day 1940, left on the Queen Mary for the Middle East and was there for 3 years, I think. 9 months in Tobruk, And he'd tell us what it was like. He'd tell us how each man was allocated just 1 quart of water, 1 litre of water per day for drinking, washing and laundry. In fact, they used petrol to wash their clothes. The water was so precious. And then they all went back to Syria, I think, after being in Tobruk for 9 months. He was there at the Battle of Al Alamein, where he was bombed and lost his hearing there and recuperated in hospitals there. To get the message to his family, a telegram was sent, and no one at the post office here knew how to get the telegram out to the farm, so they found his brother, David, younger brother, was at school, and so the younger brother was dispatched with the telegram on foot some miles to his family. And it's his dad's story, but it's a reminder, but that was everybody's story. And then he came back, he'd lost his hearing, and they said, "Oh, you're just faking, get up to New Guinea." So he was up there and with malaria and scrub typhus and dengue fever, and eventually the men were so worn out, and the situation was improving in New Guinea. The Japanese were on the retreat, and so the government decided it was more important for him to go back to the farm and continue farming, and he did that before the war ended. But my mother was in New Guinea as well, and so she didn't get discharged until after the war was ended.
When he returned, he didn't miss a beat. It just continued as he'd left it?
Well, I think that might be my mother's doing. She was the one that really wanted to farm. Dad was more a plant man. He loved growing things. He was a wonderful gardener and wonderful with pastures. He really did. My growing up years, it was all about working with the Department of Primary Industries. We trialled all sorts of different pasture species and different legume species and different fertiliser combinations. And he planted thousands and thousands of trees on our small dairy, parts that weren't so good for grazing, to try and revegetate them. And then when he moved to another property, he planted more thousands of trees, not only on his own property, but on community projects around this area.
Which was another very nice touch, I might add, that the RSL Hall at Millamilla has been packed with community members who have come along today, and many of them are leaving with a little sapling under their arm. So your dad's seeds are going to be sowed right across the district.
Yes, he really was a conservationist, very much so. He wanted to leave the land in a better place than how he took over. He would have been part of the falling of the rainforest, and he grew up with that, but he wanted to leave the area in a better place than how he'd found it.
And what about the dairy industry? What views did he share, his views about the way that farming had changed from the days when he was blazing a trail here at Millamilla?
He talked about how he started cultivating a little land with a draft horse and was one of the first to get a small two-wheel drive tractor, and they cultivated all these steep hills, developed new pastures. In those years when I was growing up, it was a time of great increase in productivity for the dairy industry, as the farmers were encouraged to do that. In more recent years, my family continued dairying and eventually got to milk 1,000 cows, but basically it never seemed to get any easier, and it isn't easier today.
The Millamilla RSL is packed to the rafters today, standing room only. The flag is at half mast, but there is no mourning here today. This is truly a celebration of one of Millamilla's most favourite sons, Henry Tranter. Bill, thank you so much for providing some insights into your father's remarkable life.
It's a beautiful day, and it's really a day of celebration. I mean, to live for over 100 years, spend just a couple of days in hospital, he was truly blessed, and he taught us many things, but one of his great legacies was how he grew old very graciously. It's a wonderful legacy he's left, and we've been very blessed